Alright, so folks, we're gonna go. Welcome to Orphan Black. Or as I like to refer to it, the only clone saga that's actually good. I'm glad you're all with me on that. So let's go down the panel and introduce everybody. First of all, I'm J.M. Tuffley. I contribute to many things at the wonderful internet roadside stop called MuteCoffee.com. I'm involved in the Week in Justice. It's 3 hours. We're sorry in advance. And then I also contribute with this gentleman on a music podcast called The Soundboard. And you are?
My name is Rob Levy. I'm in a room that's not Brit Media. Yay! Not that I don't like that. It's just nice to be in a whole new place that's clean. So anyway, hi. I'm Rob Levy. Yes, I write for needcoffee.com. I also write a weekly Doctor Who column for Anglotopia.com or Tardistopia called Doctor Hooligan. Please read it. I'd like to have 7 readers. And also I do a radio show in St. Louis called Juxtaposition for KDHX. You can listen to it online. And I also help put out a fanzine called Derelict for NeedCoffee.com as well. And yeah, so.
Going down.
My name is Cheryl. And I'm one of Leeds Extract Minions.
Which are all awesome. Extract Minions.
Yes.
Give it up. Yay! There you go, Lee. We love you and you're still not here. But we love you alone nonetheless.
I'm Damien, also Wolven. I also write for Need Coffee. I did, if you've been to Need Coffee, the interview with Graham Manson right at the end of season one. I did the interview with him about season one and about two things that were upcoming in season two. So hit Need Coffee, check it out. And there's not so much probably spoilers, but a bunch of teasers for what's upcoming.
All right. So basically the way we kind of like to do these things is we'll keep talking until someone has a question.
Please have a question.
Please have a question.
It's Sunday. Please have a question.
But let's start off with, how did you come about the finding the program?
Are we going in order? Or?
Anybody who's got a good answer can go.
For me, it was interesting because I had DVR'd it with sort of an interest in watching it. Like in my convoluted world that happens, I have a lot of things in my DVR I didn't get to yet. And then Lee said, oh, I'm putting you on an Orphan Black panel. And I said, I haven't actually gotten around to watch them yet. And she said, oh, okay, I'll take you off of it. And then I got my Dragon Con schedule, and I'm on an Orphan Black panel. And because Lee is Lee, I didn't want to let her down. And because I actually really wanted to see it, I spent literally the 4 days before Dragon Con watching all of them. Which is probably a good way to do it, because then you sort of don't miss as much.
You've mainlined the show.
Yeah, and then I started to watch them on my DVR, but then the Blu-ray came, so I watched the Blu-ray, so I was very excited about that. But having said that, yes, I crammed them all into 4 days, which I think is probably a good way to do it. I wouldn't recommend it, you know, at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. But it is, I think, an interesting way to digest it all as one piece rather than in episodes, because I imagine going week from week it would be infuriating.
Well, I kind of like that about it, but I came across it because I just watch a lot of stuff on BBC America.
Yeah.
I kept seeing like the little trailers for it, the commercials for it, and it was intriguing. And they were coming out for months and months and months before the show came on. It was driving me crazy, you know, because I was trying to figure out, like, okay, every time I saw it, I was like, what is the premise of this? You know, and it was just making me insane. So just to answer the questions for myself, I had to watch. And once I watched the first episode, I was just hooked, you know.
Don't you love Felix?
Okay, I want my own personal Felix.
Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
Yeah, just to be there. He will fix you a nice cocktail. He will dress you. He will tell you when you're just being stupid.
He'll paint pretty pictures.
When you need to man up, you know. Oh, I want my own Felix. I really do.
For me, similar. Saw the trailers on BBCA over and over again, and my purview at Need Coffee is what you could generally call weird crap. It is stuff like cloning and magic and super science and how that shows up in pop culture. So when I saw this and I see girl watches herself jump off of, you know, train platform in front of train, I'm like, clone show. Like, that's my immediate first thought. I'm like, I have to watch this. I have no idea what's going to be going on, or no idea what's going to be happening, or why there are clones, but there are clones, and I need it. So I was pretty much in from the beginning.
With me, honestly, we actually just had, we just removed cable from our house, just before the show started. So, I didn't catch any of the trailers, some of which I understand gave up the clone angle pretty damn early, like before the second episode where they actually said, oh yeah, it's about clones. So I kind of missed that whole thing, but I found it through iTunes, mostly, just with the BBC stuff. But I found it through iTunes, and I basically did the same thing you did, Rob. I basically mainlined the episodes in, like, 2 days. So, again, it's one of those things where I can understand how it drove people crazy in the weekly run. But there's stuff you can pick up, I think, in the one shot, especially when you can go back and, like, wait, what did they just do? So I really found it through iTunes. So that's probably like the first time I found a TV show through iTunes. So so that was good. But let's talk about Sarah for a minute. Because here's the thing. I have this weird thing about television shows, and especially main characters or series, particularly like in the case of Harry Potter, where everyone else is more interesting than Harry is. I kind of feel like everyone else on the show feels a bit more interesting than Sarah does. And I'm not sure if I'm not getting the viewpoint exactly right, or how do you guys feel about where Sarah starts out?
Kind of early, because it's the first season and you have to introduce all of these characters.
Yeah.
You know, and she spent the first part of the season pretending to be Beth anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of takes away from her really being Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
And I was also, one of the things that I think that's come up recently as television shows go along, they set up characters now where you don't immediately like them in the first episode or the second episode. And I think I may have missed a point with Sarah where it was that it was easier for her to immediately go into the scam than to try to look. Look into what was going on.
No, I think I think even like the first scenes when she comes off the train, she just looks like kind of sketchy and grungy.
Yeah.
Her jumping into the scam and the grift like right off, to me just looks like that's naturally how she breathes.
Can I say she looked like the CSI victim of the week, like stepping off the train and arguing with people? So it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is the main character. Awesome, I'm good with this.
I think the second season we're going to get more of her backstory, because from what we've gathered, it's not very pretty.
Yeah.
And not very pleasant.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going with it, where you can kind of discover
and
the layers.
They can't give you all that and everybody else at the same time.
Yeah, and I've, as the series goes on, I think I started to understand Sarah a lot more than I did when we started. And I'm not sure did that feel like that was the idea, or...
Yeah.
I think so. I think that it was intended to be that Sarah would be intensely
the conduit.
Unlikable.
Yeah.
But she was so guarded. I think that's the thing. She's so guarded because the thing was, like, she's on that train because she's running from crazy Vic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing. So she is so very guarded, and she sees this opportunity because she is in a she's in a culture where Vic sells drugs.
Yeah.
She's in that quick mindset of like, hey, what can I do to make money real fast? And I need to make this money quick so I can go get my kid, and then we can bounce, I'll get B, and we'll go, you know? So it's just that she was in a mindset of, like, I've got to keep myself as protected as I can. As few people need to know who I am and what I'm about, because I'm constantly running the grift.
Yeah, so, like, my hook into the series, because, again, didn't quite get Sarah at the beginning, my hook into the series was Felix.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was introducing him when they did, and he's kind of like the audience making comments on what's going on. Because everyone else, to a point, when you start to meet the other clones, oh, this is normal, this is fine, this is what happens. But Fee is still the only one who continually throughout the series goes, this is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, no, constantly.
He's the touchstone.
Exactly.
Like, he's the audience touchstone for all... wait, no, this is not normal. This is strange. Yeah, we need to take a step back.
Like, this is so messy. Like, what in the world have we stepped in?
Right.
It's like the Hurley.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, my whole thing is I'm thinking that she must maybe do either advanced clone or either original clone because she can have the baby and nobody else can.
She can't be original.
That's been kind of left open, as I understand it, whether or not she is the original copy or.
Well, the thing is, but she's part of it. Yeah, she's part of twins.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't be an original anything anyway.
I just meant she's something important.
Well, she's an anomaly, I believe. And I think that's the reason why they wanted to really keep tabs on her. And, you know, I hope everyone's seen the whole series up to this point, because if not. Then
by the way, has anybody not seen the entire series now? Okay, we're not spoiling anything for you.
Because the thing is, you know, the whole entire time, everyone's trying to figure out who's my handler, you know?
And I have to admit the whole thing about the...
Oh,
and we never did find out...
Oh, my God.
We never did find out who Sarah's handler was supposed to be.
It's Mrs. S.
Is it?
Mrs. S.
Okay.
Because you have the photograph at the end of the last show that shows her with the doctors.
Yeah.
So she is directly involved in all that. So that lets you know, well, wait a second, Ms. S more than likely has Kira.
Yeah.
And she was her handler because Sarah is the anomaly. She's the one who can reproduce.
And the husband actually is her.
Yeah, Danny is Allison's handler, and I really was hoping that wasn't true because of the fact that she was just so... gangster, like, he really can take a lot of torture. Because if you can get hit in the head with a golf club, you can get duct taped to a chair, burn with hot glue guns, and then fall and shove down some stairs. I mean, that's Donnie doesn't look like it, but Donnie's got some iron in it.
That's a Twisted Sister video, actually.
Yeah,
exactly. So. And I had a whole new respect. Like, we're talking about not originally liking people.
Yeah.
I could not stand Allison.
I know.
When she first emerged, like, I really, you know, because she was so soccer mom and everything. But when she was at the gun range, I was like, wait a second. And when she was popping those pills and drinking wine behind him, and she snapped on Ansley for the first time.
And she's like Felix's new friend.
Yes. I was like, I really her. And then when she smokes pot in the minivan, I was like,
that kind of feels like an American Beauty riff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her when she signed the contract.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was a little like that was a backstory.
Yeah, no. I mean, I was disappointed in that, but I don't think she understood the weight of doing that. But she at that point did not know that their DNA was actually, like, their barcode, and that they were actually owned, like, they were patented.
Yeah.
So she had no idea.
And if she ever finds out about Donnie.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't find out about Donnie.
When
she I think she and Sarah might.
Yeah.
He might.
Donnie's going to disappear.
Yeah. And it's not going to be your scarf in the garbage disposal.
It's great, although it is funny, though, also that she was talking about, you know, attempting to kill people and everything, that the one death she does directly cause was accidental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just kind of steps back and lets it happen.
Well, kind of has a Desperate Housewives moment. It's awesome. I'm just going to leave.
Mm-hmm. No, it was cute. She was, like, scurrying. She's, like, looking around, like, okay, I'm just
going to
close the garage door.
Why did this door
handle
off?
And I'm going to just kind of, like, back out. She went totally back into, like, timid soccer mom mode at that point.
And that does kind of bring up the idea of how much do they let, I guess they let the clones have some sort of choice and free will.
Absolutely.
But how much, because it's
but how
hard
much?
To figure, how much? How much of a leash do they get?
Because
obviously if they let Beth be a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, because well, that's bizarre.
So far as that goes, Leaky even says when he's having the conversations both behind the scenes when none of the clones are there, but also with Cosima, you know, this is an experiment. I mean, it's an experiment that he's got his hands on and that he wants to see go a particular kind of way. But
it's part of science experiment and sociology experiment.
Right.
And he's you like, want influences.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happens, whatever they do, is another interesting result.
Well, except for Helena.
Except for Helena. Helena is a bad anomaly because she's trying to stop the whole
thing. Well, because she
was escaped.
But she was outside of the whole experiment.
Exactly.
Like, she was like that free radical that just kind of got away and unfortunately got in with, like, the weird, you know, Christian dude who manipulated her.
And because of that, she then becomes one, you know, the one who wants to end the experiment as a whole. So she's the only real threat. But anything else they do with their lives.
But there's also a part about her. I don't think that she wanted to end the experiment per se.
No,
she was programmed.
She was programmed.
Right. She was just programmed. Well,
we got a lot of hands that went
up.
I love.
I want to know about the tails.
Okay. We'll get through it, but I just have to say the part where she cuts the tail off and she's at the like the dance and she's using it as a glow stick.
Yes.
Oh my god! I laughed so hard.
We got some hands. Let's go over here, back there. It's okay. Well, that's an interesting question. Do we have it associated that Allison and Beth were intended to be in the same area, or did Allison move there?
I think if either of them moved there, it would probably have been Beth.
Yeah.
Because Allison's high school sweetheart, the people that she
exactly.
Knew
that's kind of what I was wondering.
All in that area.
So is Beth the one that moved?
I think Beth is the one who
moved. The one who was brought from England over.
Sarah's one. I think though that probably I don't know, because Beth had been at her job for a while.
Because that kind of goes to the point of
overreach of the handlers. Like, okay, do we make sure that none of these people ever meet?
Well, Mrs. S brought Sarah
specifically to that area, and I think that in that specific vein, I think because Leaky is there, because the dyad group. Is right
and his
there.
Name is
Leaky. Yeah.
Like, this is, like, if we're going to have two of them be in any one place together, they might as well be together where we can keep very close tabs.
Well, also, too, because Cosima is so close as well.
Right.
Like, she's within, like, she's like a train ride away.
Right.
So. Sarah?
No, Cosima.
Yeah.
And then she had just transferred to the university or something.
Let's go over here, and then I'm going to get yours.
I just think you have to wonder how long the handlers were actually there. For example, it takes all the women with us for, 3 years?
Right.
Yeah.
Allison had her high school sweetheart, so I wonder how long they were lost and how that affects most of what...
Beth was ever lost or Allison was ever lost. The only two that actually were supposedly lost in the process was supposedly Sarah and Helena.
Then why are the handlers coming in so late? Because if you think about Cosima's handler...
They're coming in... We're dealing at this at a point where they're adults now,
right?
And we might find out later if they had handlers as children, or people that were around them as kids. But now we're dealing with all of them as 30 something, adults.
Yeah.
It also could be where we find out that, for example, they have a handler, and the handler begins to start questioning things that are wrong, and they eliminate the handler and bring in a new one.
Precisely.
Okay, I'm going to go over here, and then we'll get you guys back there.
Realizing that there's nothing new under the sun, and every TV show has origins and roots in other concepts, I think that Orphan Black is based in some of the things that we know from Lost, from Dollhouse. So this, like, Rossum Dharma Initiative that has organized and orchestrated this experiment, questions revolve around how far back does it go and what are their goals? What is the thesis being tested in this experiment? And then we get into the particulars of how many clones there are, how long this has been going on.
I think
it would be valuable for anybody watching this show to get hold to all 13 episodes of Zero Hour that ran on ABC, because if you didn't get to see how Zero Hour ended, you would be amazed. ABC canceled it after 3 episodes, but it deals specifically with the issues of cloning in terms of reproduction, recreation, you know, how is it that we bring about another human life based on a template in terms of, is it surrogate birth, is it growth in a laboratory, etc.? And I think all that comes together, and I think it's going to be amazing to watch this show, and I hope it gets 5 seasons.
And I think we're thinking in terms of this experiment, they've kind of related it toward the ages of at least this batch of clones, so like what, the early 80s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what we're shooting on?
Yeah, like they're 84. 84. We went
to all. So I would imagine, at least for this batch, if this is indeed the first batch, we're thinking maybe, we're probably thinking, they're thinking early 80s or something. Let me go, there's a guy all the way back there, and then we'll get you in a moment, sir. Hello.
In the white shirt?
The guy further back first, and then we'll get you in just a second, sir.
Similar. If you notice in the show, Cosima has a certain way of standing, so does Sarah. They share certain qualities together. They might be different, but there's a lot of things that they have genetically the same.
Well, that's
and they
true.
Did keep
like
that
the
in
the
show.
Dark. So I'm wondering, do you think it's possible like their genes, each one has different genes?
Yeah, so, well, they might have, yeah.
I mean, I think that one of the things that they have definitely hinted at, I don't know if we've had it explicitly, I don't think we've had it explicitly stated, but they've definitely hinted at each one of them has had some thing manipulated.
Well, that was the thing. When Cosima was running all of their DNA, everything was coming up. Like, okay, everything's similar. But then there was always, like, this part of the sequence that was, like, a little bit different.
Right.
You know?
That's the serial number.
Yeah, and that was their serial. But also, it's not only just the serial number, but it's also the part of them that is uniquely different.
Right.
So we don't know how that truly affects each and every one of them.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
like
one of the things
she wears glasses and the other ones don't.
Right.
Yeah.
None of the
yeah.
other ones. And so the whole like yeah the barcode being part of the DNA, the, even if it's in this the so-called junk DNA, recent studies have so far back as 15 years have shown that our quote-unquote junk DNA has a determinant factor on how we express characteristics in our daily lives far more than was previously supposed. So that could have any kind of
Let's go over here, sir. You can yes, and then we'll get to you in just a moment.
About you saying that the Miss S and Thomas was a handler.
Yes.
For the, I don't think they were a handler because the mother gave up her two daughters, one to the church and one to the state.
Right.
Okay, but we've already seen though that.
Right. But she's watching over her, but she's more of a like protector.
We think that, but at the very last episode, you have a picture of these doctors that the mother comes to warn her about,
yep.
And it has Mrs. S. with these doctors. And this woman made a trip and put her life in danger to come and bring her this information.
Yep.
So even though Miss S. has been her protector or whatnot, that does not mean she's not involved in the bigger picture.
Right.
Okay.
One of the things, actually, sorry, before we move on, one of the things about that specifically, I've been thinking about that when we first came around to it, the idea that perhaps what we're going to find out about Mrs. S, and this is rampant speculation on my part, but perhaps one of the things we're going to find out is that, yeah, she was one of the scientists involved in this cloning project, but that, as Rob says, some people perhaps start to have issues with what's happening here, and they don't like what is being done to these clones, and maybe the story that she tells Sarah about taking her and hiding her and using her black market contacts is all completely true, but that there is something that she left out.
And that's, I think that's also the thing that we're going to get to, I think, in the second series.
No, I mean,
is
I'm not
all
say
of
that
these.
That's completely evil.
Yeah.
And, like, this is like she's just duped her all of her life.
The reluctant
I think
point.
Everybody has different agendas, and that's kind of what we're getting to is that, you know, not just the religious fanatical guys who had Helena. There are a lot of factions that we figure out,
yes.
And there are some guys still hiding in the woodwork that's been hinted at. But there are a lot, it looks like a lot of factions with a lot of different agendas, and I think we're going to start to get somewhere close to more exploring how deep the rabbit hole goes in the next series. let's go ahead and.
I just had two things. One thing about what they just said, it just made me think of something. The Mrs. S, she doesn't come to Mrs. S till she's a little older. she's not a baby. I think maybe Mrs. S. left them to try and go find her when they lost her, to take her and protect her. Maybe that was something about, like, she was like, oh, I see what they're doing to these other kids. I need to try to find this one before she, you know, falls back into their hands. But to what she said earlier about not having the handlers, like, her, that handler was damaged to her, so obviously it wasn't her handler from when she was a baby. All these parents got in vitro. Maybe the parents, with the contract they signed or whatever, they knew what they were getting into. Maybe they couldn't have kids, and this was the only way they could have kids. They're like, they became the handlers, and then the kids grew up, and then they got their own handlers from other places in their life.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Like, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Like, further, you know, in like, further episodes, what the backstory is about them growing up, and, like, you know, how closely were they watched.
Let's go. Yes, ma'am, you. Yes, yeah, we'll get back there in a minute.
So two things. All the handlers, with the exception of Paul, who's the first handler, who becomes kind of self-aware, they mentioned the fact that this was a double-blind study. So even if the parents were the handlers, it's very possible that none of them really knew what that entailed. Or
there could have been other monitoring. There could have been neighbors. There could have been...
Let us know if your child has any health problems.
Yeah.
All under the basis of medical care, just checking up on the kid.
Well, because also,
I'm just saying, then too, if you're having children by in vitro, the doctors are very involved.
Oh, yeah.
With your health and with the health of your child. So that's a situation where, for a while, they're still going to be very involved.
Yeah.
In your care and the care of the child. So that's a way to stay involved.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking, you know, we're talking the kids are probably coming of age mid-80s we're looking at now, if they were born in the early 80s. You're also looking at latchkey kids.
Yep.
So it may not be the parents. It may be the neighbors. It may be babysitters. It may be anybody in the early development chain that can easily monitor the kids without necessarily giving themselves up, basically.
And DNA is the same, except possibly the tracker is the thing that makes it different. But there's also a study called epigenetics, which is the fact that even twins who have the exact same DNA, epigenetics is the fact that on top of this DNA are proteins and protectors that can, at any second, derail or break and modify it, which is why you have twins that one of them will get cancer and one of them won't. So I think a lot of it has to do with epigenetics. Why it's so interesting that they have these clones and they're
going to
DNA, but they then spread out so they can really see what the effect is of the
DNA. I also think, and I don't want to say that everybody's theory about Mrs. S. is off, but I also like the thought of it being not just a genetic experiment, not just a sociological experiment, in where, you know, we purposely let kids go into child services just to see what happens.
Yeah.
And that would be part of influence. That would go to behavioral. Yeah. You know, if you're spreading them out and you're studying them that way, give them, you know, socioeconomic levels to deal with. And how does that work? So it could just be that they ended up in the foster child system because they were supposed to be in the foster child system. Yeah. So, although I like some of the Mrs. S. stuff, but I'm leaning toward that could be a happy accident, but there are you can read it both ways. So let's go. And then I'll go back to you guys back there in a minute.
Well, one of the things that I'm still trying to figure out is sort of raised in the first couple of episodes is why Beth killed the scientist, the person that she's being court-martialed, but disciplined in her shooting.
I think part of that...
She shot her because she was tweaking, but that's just what she told Art.
Yeah. I think there is, and for what we find out about Beth eventually over the course of that series, is that she was having some issues before she shot somebody.
Yeah.
And and also because we also know that she was previously working with Allison Cosima to begin with.
But also, too, the scientist, the woman that she shot... was also involved with the religious guy who was handling Helena.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest thing, was the fact that this woman was attached to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it is one of those three, Allison has a little bit of paranoia. Here's where I'm getting to though. If Allison had a little bit of paranoia, Beth must have had huge paranoia.
Yeah.
And she had a badge. Yeah. So,
well, think about the fact that, okay, to kind of derail this a little bit into a completely other show, Hodgins on Bones believes that, you know, he's a huge conspiracy nut. Why? Because his family is basically the Bilderberg group. He knows that the conspiracy is real.
Yeah.
He knows that this conspiracy is real. She is part of a systematized, authoritative structure, the police, and knows that the likelihood of there being governmental, military, state-sponsored involvement in this is very high.
Yeah.
And so she is on serious edge this entire time.
And yes, you add all the prescription drugs she was on in the mix.
Absolutely.
And that will opens the floodgates to a deep, deep, deep level of paranoia.
Exactly. I mean, but also, too, she was one of the first parts, you know, her, Cosima and Allison were in that first group of people that come across this information.
Yeah.
That there's more of you. Okay, well, that's fine. So then the three of them together, you know, band together, they start doing research, but then they start figuring out, hey, wait a second, we're getting killed.
Yep.
This is an anomaly that, hey, all these people, all these other women who look just like us, varying from whatever, you know, depending on what part of the country and what countries they're from, they're all dying. They're being, they're either dying from whatever mysterious illness that they have, or they're coughing up blood, or they're getting shot in the head.
Right.
You know,
Helena.
All of their other research was so methodical. They would pay people for information. They were still trying to think things out, and so it just struck me as odd that she would just shoot her rather than try to disable her and question her.
Again, I think that feeds into.
But I think that she wasn't sleeping. She was paranoid. She was on lots of. She was. Well, I don't think it was so much an oops. I think she definitely had her guard up.
Yeah.
Because here's a person who is coming after you, telling you that you're unnatural, that you have no right to be alive, that you need to be eradicated, that, you know, you're a bit bastardization of humanity.
And she finds out about Paul.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, so, and the knowledge about Paul.
Yeah. That
oh,
Paul
yeah, and your entire life is a lie.
Yeah, that here you are, and you have this life, and you think you're doing something good for, you know, for society, for your community, and you think you have this, like, you know, oh, we're together and we're doing all these wonderful things together and I love him, and it's like he never loved me, you know.
I think that, like, that alone is enough to put somebody on hair trigger and
yeah.
put to that whatever information she did get from her confrontation with the scientist before she shot her.
Yeah.
I think that scientist did actually
we'll find that out.
I think we're
going to
get that in season two from the religious group themselves. I think that there's actually information that they have that the Dyad group also has, that has not been made public yet. But
and also, I don't think we're done with the cops yet, because now the cops are very interested.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
So...
Okay, I just have one. Who couldn't stand Beth's partner?
Art
is an ass.
He is a bit of a dick, I got this.
He did go to the Mikhaili Pfeiffer School of Acting, though.
I don't know. He was kind of in the dark, but there was just, I don't know. There was just something about him that was just a little too, like...
Yeah, because there was the whole bit of blackmail of...
And overly controlling, and he was just like, I mean, he had his foot on her neck.
Yeah.
You know?
He had a fill of Beth's BS.
Yeah. Like, my partner is often, you know, tweaking and sleepless, and she shot this girl.
Yeah.
And he was like, I understand
about his backstory, and like,
I know, because I was just like, oh god, not another art episode.
Yeah. Okay, there are some people back there that have had their hands up. Go ahead, and then we'll get you guys over here. Yes, you.
Right
So, just we were talking about the difference a minute ago, and she had bigger boobs than you. It's acknowledged that Cosmi's boobs are bigger than
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the name of the project Leda, I actually did some digging on it, and there's a lot of symbolism in it. Because I was like, Leda, that's the one who represents the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
But in the mythology, she also has sex with
her husband the same night, so she has four babies.
Yep.
Two of whom are gods, demigods, two of whom are mortal. And it's like girl, boy, girl, boy. So two mortal girls, two demigods. And one of those has a, this is really sweet, and it's about two brothers who love each other very much. They're the Gemini constellation.
Yeah.
And the other one is about four. Helen Troy is one of those. Which I thought was really interesting. There's a lot of fertile ground to be mined there in terms of me and Sarah, in terms of sort of this womb child kid, but also the elf pet project Layla that hasn't been discovered. If there are, might be boy versions of Jess going on somewhere.
Like, I'm wondering.
I mean, at this point, with like people getting tails and things, I don't think that's like the craziest.
Yeah, that's not the craziest idea.
Yeah.
The show is like 17 layers deep. Anytime you start to unpack anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's like just my result of my kitchen.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, ultimately,
I'm just curious.
Ultimately, I think they're gonna unpack again. They're gonna unpack a lot of this in seasons two and hopefully three and hopefully four. And we're gonna find. I mean, to bring it to a practical level, Tatiana Maslany is the only reason this show works.
Oh, yeah. Like, she is amazing.
And in order for there to be a male counterpart. You know, Sarah and Kasima and Beth, they're going to have to find a male Tatiana Maslany.
And I don't know if that's
good luck
possible.
To them on that. Yeah. Like, seriously, good luck to them.
No, that, she blows me away.
Yeah.
Like, she is amazing. Like, just have her do it. Like, just have her, like, put her in drag and have her do it. And that's the best possible option.
Well, they were thinking, but I was in the chat with Tatiana, the live chat, and somebody brought up the possibility of a transgender plot.
Mm.
And she was really interested in that. And I think it would be awesome if we did have a transgender clone.
I think that could actually, that would lead to even more fertile ground for discussion as to what things have they changed in their genetics, what things have they changed in their environment to bring about that as a fact of that person. And I think that would be really interesting and really amazing.
She could totally stick it, because she's
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Graham Manson is of a philosophical enough bent about this idea. He is interested in the implications and the long-term actual philosophy of it. I think he would love to do that.
Let's go. Oh, sorry.
Well, she's actually there.
Yeah, I was going to go over here. Sorry.
Oh, well, this girl in the paint.
Well,
she has to
fight it out.
A quick question, I hope. What is the control? We talk about science experiment all the time. What the heck is the control?
Rachel. She's the one that's raised by the corporation. She's the one they keep an eye on.
One person be a control.
We don't know that she's the only one.
Yeah.
We only know that Rachel is the one who has the most power. Control.
Yeah, I mean she's it. Okay. You know.
So we might find out that she doesn't have as much power as she thinks she does, but it's entirely likely that she knows everything.
Yeah.
She knows exactly what's going on because they raised her from the start.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just give her everything?
One of the things I'm interested in seeing more of when the show comes back and one of the things that I was actually expecting Rachel to be, and then she turned out to be just another clone. I want to see if there's like an originator, if there's the original. Because if there's an original, it's a human, and it's at least 20 years older than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And like a parent or something like that, you know, something like what you came across in Kyle XY, that there was an original whatever person or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's where did the embryo?
But I mean, that's the whole question. That's the whole.
Is there a parent?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. But I think that's the whole thing with Helena. It's like, you know, it's like, no, you're not the original. Where is the original? There's someone, something out there that is the original material,
and
that's what they're protecting.
And it's entirely possible that original material is what we find at the very top of the Dyak group and above Leaky even. Or it's entirely possible that, now again, more random speculation on my part, that so much of this DNA was perhaps designed, manufactured.
Okay, let's go.
My question is the little girl who got hit, should have died.
Well, that's the thing. Her instincts, too, is the fact that like she has just this innate ability to kind of sort them out.
Yep.
She knows who's who.
Yeah, like she knew that lady was her aunt.
She knew that.
She's like super smart.
Yeah, and it's like she knew Helena. She's like, she's not evil. She's just sad.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I don't know, she's some sort of.
Yeah.
She's like a superhuman.
Yeah, but that's the thing. She gets completely plowed down by that car.
She's good the next day.
I mean, I was crying. She's all right. I was like, I was crying.
Killed the kid.
Oh, she has.
Ma'am, what's that? Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think that the Leakey's group, the Dyad people, I don't think that they're just making clones and putting them out in the world to see what happens. I think that they're maybe all of them, maybe some of them have some kind of enhancements.
That's what you see with the whole club.
It's
like everyone that was there, they were invited because they're interested in it and this is what they're looking into, or they were there because they've already been genetically enhanced.
Yeah.
So that's his whole thing, is enhancing.
The tail and the girl with the eye thing, that wasn't genetic. That was after they're born.
Yeah,
that's
that was surgical.
This is in the womb. They're doing something.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, everyone who's there, they are proponents of this.
Yeah.
This is what they want to see. I might have to go in and have a tail surgically implanted, but I want to get to a point in society where genetically I can get with my mate and we can create this being that has the weird eyes and has a tail.
I'm having a hard time seeing that idea as being evil. I don't know if we're supposed to, because in some ways it seems kind of cool.
We're not supposed to see it as inherently evil.
Yeah.
According to, you know, Graham, we're supposed to see it as not inherently evil. We're supposed to see its use as presented as kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Because they're not going about it in, like, because the thing is, like, you know, with Leakey is the fact that, like, medically, through, like, the AMA and whatever, there's tenets. You know, against certain kinds of research.
Precisely.
You know, so the thing is, it's like definitely he's going against things. And so one reason probably a lot of the stuff that he's done has been done like in Europe and things like that. There's too many like constraints here in the United States to do some of the things that he wants to do. But he's still, you know, going after the gold a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little shady.
All the way in the back. Yes, you, sir.
No.
But she's a part of a twin. She was part of her and Helena.
And she was implanted.
Yeah.
And she was also implanted in a surrogate mother. So she's not original. She might be the one they did the most modification to, but she's not an originator.
She has the birth dates, right? She's not the...
She's not the first. Kasima is first.
Yeah.
To kind of jump back to the H-plus kind of enhancement thing as well, think about... If you want to see something, you know, on the cool side of this, Kasima.
Mm-hmm.
She's our, this can actually be used for good. This can be used for more than just people playing around in an underground basement club somewhere trying to, you know, make themselves better for their own amusement, but to actually make people
better.
Not like in a eugenics kind of, let's eliminate all of these undesirables, but in the, how can we help people live? How can we help people to stay alive and live a better quality of life with each other longer.
Yeah.
And I think if, hopefully, she and Delphine can solve the really, really important problem they need to solve come season two, that's what we're going to see. The thing is, though,
Kasima was coughing up blood.
Yes, she was.
So...
But that's motivation. That's motivation.
Yeah.
I don't know how motivating that is.
It's pretty motivating to me.
That's frustrating because, you know, she is there... She's really like, she's their hired gun, kind of, you know. Kasima's the one with, you know, she's the one with her finger on the pulse of really what's going on. She's helping them figure out so much. So if they lose her...
Then they lose a very, very important...
Yeah, so that's my thing. It's like, you know, so that, I guess that's my fear going into the second season is the fact that she's sick. So would they really kill Kasima off?
What will they do
in the face of losing her?
Yeah.
There would be nerve rides.
Gentlemen with the fez.
whole idea of genetic modification and genetic tales does sound really great, but the implication of potential trademarking DNA, it being sold as a commodity, is actually pretty scary.
Well, keep in mind that no corporation does anything generously or without a end game or a profit in mind. I mean, Google, Apple, Monsanto,
soybeans, anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean everything. Every product has a good spin, a benefit.
Yes.
And I mean that's ultimately, I think, what Leaky and the group's end game is. Is we're trying to make a product. We don't know what that product's going to end up being. It could be used as, you know, a weapon. It could be used as
market
designer
research.
It could be designer genetics.
It could be let's seed the brain trusts of other corporations.
Or it could be
ridiculously intelligent people.
Or you know, it could be exactly what he's saying is sort of like a real-time Google. Instead of waiting for people to come to us and get the data, why don't we just put plants out there and get the data?
Right.
You know, so that it could be worked either way, but it is in the end game a product that they are trying to get to.
Yeah.
So they need to have a patent so they can make money off of it. So,
and look at the most recent Supreme Court decision on this, which actually came out like right after the season ended, and it was like almost perfect timing. The Supreme Court comes out and says the only genetic code that can be trademarked or patented is that which is wholly synthesized and designed, not as a derivative of existing DNA. And that's a blow to Monsanto, but it also allows them to make certain things and then say, well, this is ours, and anything that contains this then is ours. Which is what essentially, I believe, Leaky and the Dyad Group's going to, like, in this world where it's not horrifyingly illegal to clone people and patent their DNA, is what their whole crux is going to be. It's like, well, we made this, and this is what makes you special, so you're ours.
But doesn't that only apply to us? I mean, the show's not set.
Right. Hence the, you know, the fact of, well, we have you in Canada, in Europe, and in
we have you everywhere you are.
So,
you know?
Yeah.
let's do this.
Granted, there is the possibility that the Leaky Group may have a lot of information that they haven't shared with the general scientific community for various reasons. But I was just thinking that, you know, if they were created 20 years ago, where were we in our genetic research? I mean, granted, this is another fictional world. But still, it makes me wonder if maybe some of the variations is also their experiment to find out what they control.
If
clone X had this variation, how does she develop different from the others?
Exactly. And
so
that's,
they may not have deliberately given them illnesses.
Yeah, that might be
any experiment goes wrong. Any experiment has side effects. I mean, there's tons of experiments that just go wrong. I mean, NASA, how many rockets do they launch before they get it right?
I think, too, also, like, one reason why I think they wanted to be able to handle them better was because Leaky is quite concerned that the clones are getting sick. This is an anomaly that he was not foreseeing.
Yes.
So that was a thing whenever he would talk to them, even when he was talking to Delphine about Cosima, it was like kind of like, come on, bring her into the fold, bring her in. We can help her. And it's because he has no, it's like he's not banking on this as a result, as an outcome. He doesn't need for them to be sick because this ruins his experience.
Yeah, if they all die, game over. It doesn't matter what his end game is. If they all die, that's the end. So we know, at least we suspect, that whoever is killing off the clones is not the same people making the clones.
No,
it's the other church.
Yeah. Like I said, there are like four or five other factions that we know of.
I don't think that it's even completely the church group, because it was someone was still trying to get to Helena as well. So it's just, I don't, it's like right now we don't know how many groups there are out there, that have information about Leaky and what he's doing.
Yeah.
So that's the, you know, that's the thing that Kazima and Allison and Sarah are trying to get to. It's like, okay, if we can deal with the whole Lena situation, we can put that fire out and at least have a clear vision of where the gunfire's coming from.
Exactly.
Now, is Helena really dead, though?
I hope not. Yeah.
I hope not.
It just seemed too clean for me.
I feel so sad for her because what she is has nothing to do with her. I mean, it was not her fault. And I just feel like being around Sarah and being around Kira was such an amazing thing for her. And it really started bringing some humanity to her surface. When I saw him put her in that cage, I was like, you've got to be, like, that hurt. Yeah. It hurt to see him do that to her.
Manipulation. I don't necessarily want redemption for Helena in that same way. I don't want to see necessarily her humanity brought to the fore, but I want to see the ferocity that is Helena put towards the people that did that to her in the first place. Yeah. Like, that's what I wanted for Helena in the outcome. I wanted her to be able to turn that around.
And I could see her being gone for a while and then coming back.
Because we don't know if perhaps the same kind of things that Kira has, like, who here, you know, recognize the questions, how many times have you ever been sick in your life? Like, maybe that's a question that somebody's eventually going to be able to ask of Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know, have you ever broken a bone? Have you?
Right.
Yeah. You know? We don't know what kind of elements in that were actually in the clone's primary.
Well, and I think that Helena is a valuable asset. I mean, she's crazy. she's a finely honed, you know, blade, you know?
Yeah.
And
she's a warrior.
But the thing is, like, I think that the connection she felt to Kira is really going, I hope she's not dead, because the connection that she has with Kira is something that really could make her the assassin that they need. You know, she might think other adults are crap and whatever, but she really felt a connection to that little girl, and I think that she would do anything to protect her.
So when are we going to talk about the little girl's dad?
Maybe she doesn't. Maybe we find out that one of the things that we get from, you know, this cloning experiment going right is
you wake up
pregnant, which is kind of horrifying. But, you know, it's entirely possible that the actual outcome of that is, we've actually recently found in genetic studies that if the genetic code is modified properly, mice can be made to asexually reproduce.
Frogs, I mean,
all the time, but mice are our best small-scale human control, you know, our human-esque. And they're thinking that it's entirely possible that we can make human beings.
Yeah, but I think Sarah would have...
I think she
would have said something about that, you know, like...
She might have been with somebody else besides Vic at the time, and maybe not...
Well, no, but we know clearly that Vic is not here today.
Not at all.
You know?
So that kind of goes to the question of, given what we kind of know about Sarah, does she even know who the father is?
Yeah.
Well, because she was partying pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, from, like, you don't know her whole backstory, but from the way that Mrs. S talks to her, treats her.
She's a recovering something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. The whole dynamic with her and Fee really speaks to something having happened in her younger years. So
yeah.
I'm thinking she probably was maybe, like, alcohol, drugs. And no, she may not herself know who the dad is.
Let's go back here, and then I'll get back to you in just a second.
No.
That's why we're here.
No, I just want to say, I didn't realize until now how paranoid I am about this show. Like, can't they trust anything? You don't see on the screen is it didn't really happen because the fundamental baseline assumption of the show, even like Sarah's reality, seems like it could be false.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they thought that they could have 26 or that many, like, ones that live to adulthood, first try, doesn't make sense. So I wonder, and especially with Kira showing all that healing factors.
But, you know, one thing that I thought, too, is the fact that, you know, they do all those studies on them in their sleep.
Yes.
They get them, like, you know, they roofie them up and then have their handlers let someone in. That could have happened to her.
Sarah's, like,
once you start.
Well, no, but the thing is, no, that is her real daughter. That's why they're so interested. If they just wanted to jack your kids, they would have taken Allison's because they know hers are adopted and those aren't hers. So.
Make a copy of a copy from a copy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, but I think that's the reason why they're so interested in Kira.
And when the show starts, Sarah has been out of Kira's life for a while.
Okay, so just to go to that point, we know that Sarah has been gone.
She's been gone for 10 months.
For 10 months.
Yeah, for 10
okay.
months.
Okay. So, and Kira is how old?
Seven.
She wasn't with Vic.
That's also where I'm getting to. We know that at some point, we know Sarah is either recovering from something or that has partially why to do. Maybe there was an intervention and she was kicked out of the house.
Right. Yeah. That seems to be what's implied from her relationship with Mrs. Ass.
Yes.
The goods that she has to do to get back in her
place. Yes. So that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting question because I'm curious. I'm also curious about the 10 months and
what happened.
There? What happened during the 10 months?
She was running hard grifts with Vic that entire 10 months, and when we see her, she has just stolen $25,000 worth of cocaine
from him
and escaped.
Okay, I know Vic's an ass, but who felt a little sorry for him? Okay, because when Paul nail gunned him in the hand, I was like, "Come on, man!"
It's like he deserves it, but I feel bad.
At the same time, he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he just knows you tell him he's dead, then you're alive. He cried at your funeral, and here you are. And he's like all messed up in the head.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because I think you're going to have various characters representing different things. Vic's going to represent sort of, I think, redemption as this goes on. And I think as the different clones sort of go on with their lives, things are going to happen. Like, I think there's going to be sort of, there will be a retribution, I believe, big time coming. Not the police. Well, I don't necessarily think.
Well, yeah, but we've seen that on other shows. The police can be easily replaced or misled.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, but they are one of the factions that are involved in figuring out what's going on.
I think the woman that's with Art is in on it.
Oh, yeah.
She seems to have a little bit too much.
She seems to be able to hone in on things just a little too closely.
And she's a little creepy.
No, she's horribly creepy.
Yeah.
She's like Michelle Forbes creepy without being Michelle Forbes.
Yeah.
Okay, ma'am, we're going to go to you, and I think this may be the last question, so.
I just want to get your take on something that I've noticed. You mentioned the nail gun. You've also got Scar, Rebar, and the golf club. Very, very many unconventional weapons. My husband does martial arts.
It's Clue.
So I pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the odd weapons are used by the ones that are living some sort of normalcy life.
Yeah.
What is your take on that, and do you think that that's a good indicator to continue as we meet?
Well, if you think about Helena has been trained to kill people. When you train somebody to kill people, you're going to train them across a spectrum of difference. Weapons. However, Allison's a housewife, and when you feel like your life is in peril, you'll take your shoe off, you'll throw a lamp, you're going to bust somebody in the head with a bottle. You'll do whatever you have to do.
But also, keep in mind, Allison's kill was accidental, and it wasn't technically even her.
No.
A gun can kill the German at the very beginning.
Right.
But that's because she's been trained. She's been trained and hardened.
And think about that though as the indicator though that she's looking at. You have the trained in conventional weapons and the ones who are more wild or uncontrolled or unbalanced emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
Beth.
Yeah.
And Helena are the ones who use conventional weapons all the time.
Yeah.
Allison's got a 357.
Yeah, but when it came down to it, she didn't use a 357. She used the golf club.
Right.
Well, it also could be.
But the thing of it is that what I'm trying to say is that as she gets more and more unbalanced, the more she goes toward the gun, the more she grabs.
Because that's the one thing she knows that has all the stopping power.
Exactly.
If you're aiming to kill,
if you're aiming to kill,
go for the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when the opportunity presents itself, she'll take a scarf and a garbage
disposal. it's almost like they gave the same behavioral pattern to each of the clones, and they each acted out in different ways. Like, they all have a killing streak in them.
Exactly. Yeah. But how does it manifest?
What's the trigger? What is the thing that comes to the surface with it? It's very interesting, sort of. And do they have a threshold?
Right.
You know, sort of like, because from what I've heard from genetics now is that they can put like a pain threshold or a behavioral threshold,
yes,
where someone will take a certain amount and then that's it. They've crossed the line and they reach a point of apathy or they reach a point of violence.
Yep.
Or
and for Sarah, it seems like that she has two very particulars, and that's her own life is literally about to end.
Yeah.
Or Kira is in serious, direct, immediate danger. And if either of those happens, no, she will kill you.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what happened to Helena, because...
And that's where we are at the end of the season, where...
And the only weird thing, though, is the fact that Sarah will just... she is in... At the very beginning, whenever she's in danger of being exposed as not being who she says she is, she has sex with the guy.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little...
And that goes to, that's why she doesn't know who the father is.
Maybe that's a...
She uses
sex. But if you think about it,
yeah,
Vic, but here's the thing, probably with being with Vic is kind of gross and grungy. You know, it's like when you want to placate the Don, you know, you get on it.
And on that bombshell... We have to say goodnight. Thank you for coming, folks.
Thank you. Great to be at. Raise the panel on your app if you have the DragonCon app.
Please
rate
us on the app.
Do you think it's been rated or is it just click? I can't tell. Like, when I rate a panel, it just goes back to where it was.
Yeah, I know.
If nobody else is going to take those, you might as well take it from my girlfriend.